Economic growth stopped and our birth rate dropped.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning, I'm Bill Radke. Americans had fewer babies in 2008 than we did the year before. We just got that news from the CDC, Centers for Disease Control. Now, 2008 happened to be the first full year of the recession. So did we shrink our families because of money? To analyze just a bit, Marketplace's Amy Scott joins us live from New York. Morning, Amy.
Good morning, Bill.
Give us a snapshot. What is the U.S. birth rate at right now?
Well, preliminary data show that about 4.2 million babies were born in 2008. That's a decline of almost 2% from the year before. The teen birth rate also fell 2% after having risen 2 years in a row.
And do we know why?
Well, we don't know why for sure, but population experts are saying that the economy probably played a big role. The Pew Research Center looked at the data and found that some of the states that had the biggest declines in birth rates have been the hardest hit economically. States like Arizona, as you know, having children is expensive. And when people are out of work or worried about the future, they may put off having kids. It's interesting, though, women who want to have children obviously can't put it off forever. And really, the only group that saw an increase in births was women in their 40s. The birth rate for women aged 40 to 44 increased 4%.
Interesting. Now, these numbers are for 2008, and the economy has come back a little bit. Do we know anything about 2009?
Well, the CDC has looked at the first half of last year. That's about as current as we get. And early data show that births declined about 3%. But 2009 will be important to watch because, you know, there's this 9-month lag when it comes to having babies. So we should see more evidence of how the recession affected family planning.
Okay. Marketplace's Amy Scott. Thanks, Amy.
You're welcome.
And let's see how stocks are doing. Stocks in Europe are down slightly so far. The European Union said its economy was flat in the fourth quarter. That was disappointing. Asian shares were up, though. The World Bank said the developing economies of East Asia will grow even faster this year than previously thought. And Japan decided to keep interest rates at practically nothing. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow gave up 3 points, closed at 10,969. Six big health insurers in Massachusetts have asked to raise their premiums by as much as a third. The State Insurance Commission says no, so this week they're all headed to court. Now, the interesting thing is Massachusetts recently passed a health care overhaul, sort of like the new national law. So is this state court fight a preview for the rest of the country? Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer takes a look.
The insurers are suing because they say Massachusetts is requiring them to sell their policies at a loss. The state says skyrocketing premiums are crippling small businesses. Austin Frecht is a health economist at Boston University. He says the rate ruckus could go national when the healthcare overhaul is fully phased in.
Yeah, I think it'll be lawsuits and threats and fights.
The Massachusetts insurers are arguing that penalties for not buying insurance are too low. Healthy people would rather pay a small fine than pony up for a policy. That leaves insurers who must cover everyone with too many sick people. And insurers say they must raise rates to cover them. Amy Lischko teaches public health at Tufts University and helped implement the Massachusetts healthcare overhaul.
Nationally, there's dramatic changes that are going to cause all sorts of shifts that insurers are just not going to be able to predict accurately. And so they're going to probably increase their rates just because of the unknown.
Premium hikes could slow down under health care reform because it requires that 80 to 85 cents of every premium dollar go toward patient care. But Lischko says the best way to avoid high premiums and lawsuits is to cut the cost of care. Massachusetts didn't do that.
And I think the national plan went the same route. Let's cover everyone first, and then we'll look at how we can constrain healthcare costs. Now, whether you can afford to do that on a national basis is another question.
A question that may be answered in the courtroom. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Mm-hmm. Marketplace Morning Report is supported by PBS, this week presenting the story of one man's journey to awakening. The Buddha, premiering tonight at 8, 7 Central, only on PBS. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by Citrix, offering GoToMyPC, providing remote access to a Mac or a PC from anywhere. More at GoToMyPC.com/market.
Every Scrabble player knows the rule. No proper nouns allowed. But there's a new version of Scrabble headed to stores in the UK, and Marketplace's Stacey Vanek-Smith says companies, people, brands, it's all fair game.
TiVo, Kanye, Pepsi will all be legal in the new edition of Scrabble. Toy industry analyst Sean McGowan says this will attract younger players and more M-O-N-E-Y.
They may not have the SAT word vocabulary the older player might have, but this generation of kids under 25, extremely plugged into pop culture, it gives them something against an older player.
But some old-school Scrabblers are skeptical.
Horrified!
Industry consultant and card-carrying Scrabble player Richard Gottlieb says the changes dumb the game down, which Scrabble doesn't need to do.
We had a ton of new young people get into Scrabble due to Scrabulous.
That would be the Scrabble-style game that took Facebook by storm. But industry analyst John McGowan points out the new Scrabble could generate new products. For instance, can you spell Jay-Z without a hyphen?
Then they're going to sell the official Scrabble dictionary of proper names. The time-honored tradition of creating a problem and then selling the solution.
The recession has given board games a bump. Sales were up 4% last year. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
And finally, if you were going to bother counterfeiting money, would you make $1 bills? A bar owner in Juneau, Alaska says somebody left 13 fake ones in his employee's tip jar. It looks like they were made on a home printer. Some of them were blank on the back. The owner laughed it off, said, boy, the economy must really be bad to set your sights that low. And he reimbursed his workers 13 real dollars. That's a pretty cool boss. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. Our senior editor, Patty Hirsch, is at our website diagramming the economy in his video series, The Whiteboard. Join us at Marketplace.org. I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.